Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at this article and are working through this article, it includes the idea of total depravity, that man in every aspect of his soul and every aspect of his relationship with God is broken. His mind doesn't think God's thoughts. His will doesn't want what God wants. His affections don't feel or aren't inclined toward God. Our knowledge, our desires, and our delights are horribly twisted. We're dead. As Paul reminds us, we're dead in trespasses and sins. That's the character of our deadness. But God, who is rich in mercy, makes us alive. And that's also what we're considering in this article. Not only total depravity, but sometimes what's referred to as irresistible grace, that when God comes in his grace, he quickens and enables us and guides us and draws us to himself in a way that can't be resisted. Sometimes we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit and we say it's invincible, it's unstoppable, it can't be shrugged off. Imagine that. The Spirit works, and when God works, and of course this flows from his election, which comes in the first head of doctrine, his unconditional election, he looks and he sees those who he calls to himself, and they will certainly be operated on by the Holy Spirit. And how wonderful the power of the Spirit's work is. It accomplishes what God has particularly designed. It can take the hardest sinner, the worst criminal, the most foul individual, and can make them alive, can restore them to life. Can take those who are shaking their fists in God's face and open the hands to beg for mercy and to plead for grace. This is the character of what we call regeneration or being born again. And it's a marvelous reality in how powerfully we proclaim this work of the Spirit when he breaks a seasoned criminal. How we enjoy hearing those stories of those whose lives have changed 180 degrees. Whereas before they were fleeing from God, now they're friends of God. And yet the same reality should be apparent among you and me. We hear within the house of God that glorious reality that the Spirit is working here among us. That the Spirit is here present. The astounding reality that God in his grace is working amongst his covenant people as he promised. And we look at this in Ezekiel. He promised to give a new heart, to turn a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. And that's what we look for and we long for God to do. And the way God does that this afternoon, we consider as we unfold the application of the work of the Holy Spirit. Not only does the Spirit come, but God gives faith. Not just the idea of faith, not just something to believe, but the activity of faith, the life of faith. So as we look at that this afternoon, God's gift of faith, and appreciate the faith that God bestows upon mankind, we recognize that here is where man begins to act. In conjunction with the work of the Holy Spirit, in coordination with that work, the man responds to the gospel in a believing way. You see, God doesn't believe on man's behalf. God actually works in such a way through the Spirit that man actually believes. He embraces by faith the truth of God's word. So as we look at this gift, I'd like to consider three things. First of all, it's a result of regeneration. It's the fruit of regeneration. Secondly, it is the work of God's grace. And thirdly, the implications, then, for life. First of all, it's the result of regeneration. Regeneration is that work of the Holy Spirit where he causes the gospel to be proclaimed. He works for that gospel and makes it effective so that now we hear about the grace of God in a new and unusual way, in a way we've never heard it before. And the Spirit works with that word as it becomes effectual and it takes root and it produces fruit. And the fruit of that is repentance and faith. That we see our sins for what they are and we turn from them. We hate them. We want to flee from them. And we turn to God. And we embrace his word, and we embrace the work of Jesus Christ, and we love him, and we want to serve him. That is conversion. It's the turning and believing, turning away from our sins and turning toward God and giving ourselves completely to him. It's the change that we see in mankind. Oh, we recognize as well that the testimonies, our testimonies of conversion, will vary. There are those who have been ignorant of Christ so long in their life that they come to an immediate awareness of who Christ is and of what he has done. And their conversions are drastic. It's simultaneous with regeneration, that it works right together. And they hear the gospel, and all of a sudden it dawns on them. This is about them. They're the sinners. Christ is the Savior, and they need to follow him. But not everyone's conversion is so drastic. Not everyone has this Paul-like Damascus Road experience. That's what Paul had. There's others, however, even in Scripture, like Timothy, who from infancy have known the Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation. Others who've grown up in Christian homes, who have gone to church all their lives, who haven't had a day in which they haven't known about Christ and his word. Now, for them, it's much more difficult to pinpoint the time and place of conversion, but the same is true of them. Whether we're covenant children or brought from outside and brought into God's covenant, the same is true of every child of God. They have been born again. They've changed. This is why in Ephesians 2, Paul can move from describing the Gentiles in Ephesus. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of this air. He's talking about them as Gentiles. But then he goes on to include himself as a covenant member, as an Israelite, as a Jew, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of men. All of us have this deep, dark secret. All of us need to change. And that's what we're reminded of. God, in this work of regeneration, is working profoundly, working powerfully, in a way we can't fully understand. And yet, in those regenerated, it is always true that it is enough for them to know and experience, by this grace of God, they believe with heart and love their Savior. That's what binds us together in the Church of Jesus Christ. That's what holds us together. This is what the union with Christ and the unity of the communion of the saints is all about. That we're satisfied. We're satisfied to know this reality, that this is what life is all about. This is what being a Christian is all about, that we know and experience the grace of God. We've recognized that. We've seen that apart from that, we're dead. And we need God to work in his grace so that we do believe. We believe with the heart and we love our Savior. Why the Spirit works in one individual one way and another way, we don't know. But this we do know. But this is the result of the Spirit's operation. This is the testimony of the believing heart. All that I am, I owe to God. I am a recipient of that gift of grace. And the reason I know Christ, the reason I want to serve him, the reason I have such joy in what Christ has accomplished is because God has been active in my life. That's what every child of God needs to be saying. Because God is the one who's bestowed that gift of grace upon me. And God's work doesn't come in spits and spurts. Instead, it touches in every aspect of our life and calls us into conformity. By grace we have been saved through faith. So comprehensive is this that Paul can relate it to the work of Christ and say, this is what has happened to every one of us. We've been made alive together with him. It's as though we died with Christ. We're dead in our trespasses. He's made us alive. He's raised us up with him. And he's seated us with him already in the heavenly places. that we're right there with God, with Christ, in God's presence. Oh, the wonder of this fruit and how this calls us to appreciate and to stand amazed at the grace of God. And this is what we need to be confident of. And so secondly, we look not only at the result of regeneration, we look at the confidence we can have in God's work of grace. And it relates to everything. It relates to the fullness of salvation, whether it's total depravity, or God's election, or Christ's redemption, or the Spirit's regeneration. We see that the believer's life, from first to last, from the Alpha to the Omega, from the beginning to the end, is all the work of God's gracious intervention. This is why we are completely dependent on grace. This is so important for us to recognize when it comes to the subject of faith. Faith. What do you believe? What does your heart cling to? What has caused you to believe? And here we have to be careful. Here we have to be careful in distinction from errors that exist around us. Arminians would agree that regeneration is the work of the Holy Spirit. Yes, to be sure, they would say. God has done his part. But then they say, but it's up to you to do your part. It's as though God has built a bridge halfway and you need to see the value of that bridge to get over the chasm of your sin. And you need to reach out in faith and build the second half of the bridge to cross that chasm. But it's up to man to believe. Man must respond. And we have to say man will respond. And the reason he will respond is because God has given a gift. Even faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is faith by which you believe personally. That even is a gift of God. So be aware of the Arminian difference. The Arminian argument is such that God's work can still be resisted, that man can put it off, that man can say, well, I know that's what I have to do, but I would rather not do that. But we can resist the work of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit's work can be confounded, can be stopped, can be distorted. And here is God's people this afternoon, we need to be confident. This is why prayer is urged for those who are wandering, for those who are under discipline. It's because we know that no matter how much we say, no matter how much we do, unless the Spirit works in the heart of a man, we cannot accomplish anything. We can't sell the gospel in such an extraordinary way that it's going to cause men to want to crave it, because their heart and their mind and their affections have all been distorted by sin. So what do? We pray that God would work powerfully, unstoppably, invincibly, that the Holy Spirit would take this word and open a closed heart. Give light to blind eyes. Cause the lame to walk, the imprisoned to be set free. And to know that faith itself by which we embrace this grace, comes as the work of God's Spirit. That He will give that. God isn't stingy, doesn't hold back, but He'll give the faith that is necessary to embrace Christ. And then thirdly, the implications of that. The implications of this for our lives, because it helps us. It helps us as God's people with our evaluation of Bible teaching. I don't know if you've listened to Arminian preachers. Some can be found on the radio. Some can be found on television. Charles Stanley, I know, is someone who is listened to by some. And you hear their preaching and you're left scratching their head, because what they say sounds almost like what we say as Calvinists. And We know they're Arminians, but we don't always catch that nuance. They say God sent His Son to die on the cross. And we say, yes, indeed, that is what He has done. They say there is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. And we say, yes, indeed, that is certainly what we recognize. And we're one with them in that. The Bible is the Word of God, and we recognize that and we agree with that. The Spirit is the one who makes you alive, and yes, indeed, that is true. We need to recognize that these truths are all part of a system, part of a way of looking at life. And so often it's the conclusion and the application that's the clincher. Because it comes to this. God has done all of this for you. And now, what are you going to do? It's up to you. We have to step back and say, if it's up to me, I'm lost. Because I don't even have the faith that is necessary to embrace. I don't have the strength in my body. I don't have the life in my hand to reach out and to take hold of all the promises that God has given to me. Even that faith that God gives is a gift of His grace. Wondrous growth that arises from the seed of regeneration will be, certainly, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will be faith and repentance. And where the Spirit is active, the Spirit is powerfully working within the soul to cause us to see what is the most urgent thing that we need to do is to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether we've never heard it before or we've heard it all the time, we will recognize when we believe that it's the Spirit who has moved us, the Spirit who powerfully has accomplished His purpose. And we will say it is God working among us to will and to work for His good pleasure. And we will say with the confidence that He who began a good work in you will carry it through to completion, and that God who has extended these promises to you is calling you to faith, and you need to look to Him to give that gift that is necessary. And here is the wonder of God's work that is so personal. He doesn't deal with us as puppets, but He calls us personally as people. He says, look to me. If you don't have what you need, look to me, and I will provide you that gift that you need. If your faith is weak or your faith is non-existent and you've sat under the gospel and you've tuned it out because there's so much more to think about than the gospel of Jesus Christ, ask and it will be given. Seek and you shall find. Because God works in such a way that our hearts are enlivened, that our will isn't enabled, that our minds are open, and our affections are engaged with Him, and He brings the life of faith. Why does our worship wane? Why does our relationship wander? Because we don't understand, we don't reflect, and we haven't fully grasped the wonder of what God is doing here. Oh, the magnificence of this grace. Oh, how the grace of God amazes me. Here's the wonder of God's work. For us to celebrate in worship, God is working this way to bring life and to bring faith. And with that regeneration, with that faith, it flows into a new life of fellowship with Him in all that we do. So that we can say, I have been enabled by the Spirit's unstoppable power to believe and to live for God. The source of our hope, the source of our faith, the source of our growth is the work of God's Spirit with the gospel to show us the fruit of Jesus Christ in our lives. Paul can say this to the Galatians, you've begun by the Spirit. Now are you going to finish by the flesh? It can happen. The Spirit that produces life also sustains life. May God bless us with the presence of His Spirit to cause us to live in Him so that we can show the workmanship of Christ in the works that God has prepared for us. The Spirit will do that. That's what faith is. It's not a dead faith. A dead faith is no faith. A true faith is a living faith that shows the place of the Holy Spirit. That's God's gift for you and for me. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're so grateful for the gift of faith. What a tremendous gift this is. And we know that we need to exercise it. We know that we need to do it. But even that comes through the operation of your Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, be merciful to us. Where our faith has grown cold, bring the heat and the light and the fire of the Holy Spirit into our hearts, so that we may have a true faith, a living faith. Where our faith has wandered, draw us back to yourself. Where our faith has not existed or presumed, open our eyes, enable our hearts, work in such a way that we yield fully to you through your Spirit. Hear us and help us to live in accord with the faith that you give, with the work that you accomplish, with the confidence that you will perform what you have promised. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.